Blog Talk Radio.
What is up, everyone, and happy Friday to you. It is that time again of your day, on your dial. It's time for the Cave Show with PLR. This is PLR. Thank you for joining me today. I don't know about you, but it is a three-day weekend, and I am ready. So I guess by that, you can already infer Monday will be a best-of show because I'm enjoying my three-day weekend. It's been a long week, and it's going to be hot as hell here in Phoenix this weekend. These fools are talking 110 plus again every single day. So, yes, I'm going to find me somewhere cool, and I am not budging this weekend outside of my list of things that I have to do already. But anyway, this is Friday. Thank God it's Friday edition of the Cave Show with PLR. And we've got a bunch of stuff to get into. We're talking three notable names cut in the NFL. The Diamondbacks can't get right. We had a game come down to it last night. We got some sounds from that one. The Clippers. I told y'all, they're going to mess around and win this whole thing. Don't believe me if you don't want to. And then we have the whole Steve Nash thing. And I'm going to tell you something right now. That is a segment to itself. I'm going to open up phone lines for a little bit. If you have questions or comments, cool. But there's a whole segment that's just going to be dedicated to that. Big news for Clayton Kershaw last night. So we got a lot of stuff to get into. Let's jump right into it. This is the Cave Show with PLR. We are brought to you by Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located on Alma School in Chandler Heights, locally in Chandler, Arizona. Get down there and let them know that PLR sent you. They will take 10% off of your cigar purchase. You can become a club member. Get your access to the members' lounge. You get a locker with that. It backs up to a humidor. You can keep all your sticks there. If you don't want to take them home, that way you don't even have to worry about them going bad. There's a refrigerator. There's TVs. There's couches. There's lounging chairs. There's an ice maker. There's everything you need there. So become a member. I've been one myself for, I keep saying like over 7 years, but I do believe it's over 8 years now. But I've been a member forever, and it is worth it. Trust me. If you do not want to become a member, no big deal. There's still a lot of area around for you to sit down, relax, watch TV, smoke your cigar. They do serve beer and wine. Also, if you can't make it in, don't let that be a concern. You can go to Stogie World, StogieWorld.com. Order your cigars online. Same great selection if you were able to make it down there. Most items ship out the same day. You just got to get in and order early enough. So that is all part of Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco. Again, let them know that PLR sent you, and they will take 10% off of your purchase. Thank you for joining me this Friday. This is the Cave Show. This is PLR. The call-in number is 917-889-7828. That is the Kerry Lackey Law Line. Let's jump right in this because we've got a lot to get to today. Thank you for holding the Cave Show with PLR.
Hey, Paul, how are you?
Lou, what's up, my friend? How are you?
All right. Well, Kershaw makes a milestone, 2,500 strikeouts, but, you know, still, of course, the one thing eludes him is World Series title. But, you know, nonetheless, still another great milestone in his career.
Second Dodger to hit 2,500 strikeouts, just behind Don Sutton. So an incredible feat. I think I said it to you, it was either yesterday or the day before. Kershaw may be the best pitcher, maybe the best pitcher of our era. And I mean this era right here. I'm not going back to like the Clemens and the Pedros and those guys, you know, but like pitching right now today, he may be the best.
I'm still here.
I said, so him getting the 2,500 doesn't faze me. And I know he's been alluded that World Series championship, and he has just a he's a hard luck pitcher in the playoffs. So maybe that turns around for me. So the Dodgers are really good. I mean, they're really good. So maybe this is the year he finally gets over that hump, and the Dodgers get over the hump. Honestly, the Dodgers, it's like they're an analytical team in the playoffs until Kershaw pitches. And then they go off of emotion and it always kills them. So maybe this is the year that they you know, break through and win a World Series.
Yeah. Okay, so did the Raptors get away with murder last night? Because, you know, there's a lot of controversy, and the Celtics are, like, really ticked off about it.
In what way? I mean, they hit the
shot.
Well,
the last second shot.
Yeah, he hit the shot. I mean, I've got some sound I'm going to play later from Jaylen Brown. Bad rotation, and they didn't see OG over there. I mean, it's kind of on them. They put a 7'9" guy in to bother the pass, and Kyle Lowry threw the perfect pass in the perfect spot to catch, gather, shoot in 0.5 seconds. So I don't know. That last second, this video is on our Instagram over at the Sports Cave. Cave is with the K.
I'm sure.
And they did everything. I mean, Boston cost themselves that game. To be honest with you, I don't know what controversy that could be. He hit the shot.
Yeah, well, he's thinking otherwise. Like, there's no way we should have lost that game. No, no.
Yeah. Well, there isn't. The one thing that you can't give up is a 3-point shot. Out of all the things
right.
that you could give up, that was the one thing you could not. So, you know, he just found his way back in the corner. And listen, as good as the shot was, as good as, you know, everything went with the shot, it was the pass was flat out incredible. And I don't think anybody's talking about the pass that Lowry threw, because in 0.5, if that ball hits the ground before, there's no time. If the pass is high and he has to jump, there's no time. If it's off to his left, and he has to catch it and bring it back to his body to shoot, there's no time. So it was the perfect pass over a 7'5" dude, like way on the other side of the court.
Yeah.
They hit the shot. I mean, Boston shouldn't have lost. They shouldn't have. They should have guarded the 3-point line.
They should have, was right, because that was, you know, you would think we're only 0.5 seconds, you know, they had it all wrapped up. You know, like, no way they can get off. And, like, you know, but it happened.
Yeah, and that's why they do the 0.1. If it was 1/10, I believe it was 0.4 down, it has to be a tip. If either 0.4 or 0.3 down, you can only tip the ball at the rim. But in 0.5 seconds, you got time to catch and shoot. And they caught it, and they shot it, and they hit it. Boston's still in charge of the series. I mean, from a fan's point of view only, I'm glad he hit the shot. Because there's nothing in the world more boring. There's nothing more boring than watching Game 4 when it's 3-0. Because you know what everyone says. They're not coming back anyway. Even if they win this with the infamous, you're not going to sweep us and do that dance. You know it's going to be over in one of the next two games. So you don't really watch it. Well, when it's 2-1, you're watching this because they absolutely can't go down 3-1. So next game on Saturday should be incredible.
Mm-hmm. You got that. You got Game 7 of the Islanders versus Flyers. The Flyers have come right back in this series. The Islanders, they had all wrapped up, and they let it get away not once but twice. Oh, boy, this is going to be good.
Hockey is the only sport that I never feel comfortable. Whenever someone's up 3-0, 3-1, that team that hasn't won or that's down, still don't feel comfortable. In basketball, you feel pretty comfortable. In baseball, you feel pretty comfortable because it's only happened once.
Yeah.
But hockey, I never feel comfortable, no matter what the lead is. And Philadelphia is a good team, very good team. And the Isles are going to have to really skate well to beat them.
Yeah, we'll find out tomorrow. That's after the Derby. The Derby's going to run tomorrow, too.
Saturday's a busy day.
Saturday's a busy day
for sports.
Yep, not a game. College football's back and whatnot, so everything is coming back into play. And I, for one, am
slowly
glad
but surely.
Yes.
The U.S. Open is going on right now, and there's a lot of good stuff out there. And some sports are starting to slowly let fans in. I'm really curious to see how this is going to work and how this is going to act, especially with flu season right around the corner. So we're about to have flu season meet its evil cousin, COVID-19. Let's see how this all shakes down.
Well, we've been through a lot of flu seasons before, so that's nothing new.
No. The flu season I'm not worried about. The flu season meets evil bride, evil cousin, COVID-19, them at the same time. That I'm not worried about, but it's a thought.
It is.
Definitely a thought.
Well,
but
yeah.
We'll see. All we do is keep living, right?
Good.
Yep. All we can do is keep living.
All right.
Doing our best.
So don't forget, And my show will run tomorrow, so if you got time between, I think it's, 3 o'clock your time?
Yeah, well, it starts at 5 your time, right?
I'm referring to your time.
That's true.
Yeah. All right, so if you got time between 3 and 5 tomorrow, give the show a call. The number is... Yep.
No, 2. Yeah, 2. People will miss it because we're 3 hours behind you.
Oh, 2 o'clock. Okay. All right. Well, then from 2 to 4 your time, if you got time back, call 512-543-4662. And we'll have a big show tomorrow. I can tell you that this might be my busiest show of the year.
Yes, sir. Thank you, sir.
All right.
I appreciate it very much.
All right,
buddy.
Thanks, Paul.
Well, all right. I'll talk to you later, Luke. Be safe this weekend, too. Good friend Lou, always good to catch up with him. He also has a sports show as well called Enhanced Sports Talk Radio. You heard the number. If you want to be part of that show, definitely give him a ring. All right, we're going to step away. We're going to come back. We got a lot of stuff on the table, a lot of topics on the table. Some of them are popular. Some of them may not be. Either way, I'm going to give it to you one way or the other. If you like it, cool. If you don't, okay. I don't know what to tell you. It's the Cave Show with DLR.
Don't just smoke your cigar, enjoy your cigar at Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located at 4991 South Alma School. That's on the corner of Alma School in Chandler Heights. There's numerous TVs for viewing while you smoke your cigar, or better yet, become a club member and enjoy the member lounge. That's Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco.
The law office of Kerry Lackey should be your first and only call if you are in need of a criminal defense attorney. Also specializing in DUI and accident cases, contact the law office of Kerry Lackey online or call 602-288-2303. And remember, the best offense is a good defense.
You never know what you'll hear on The Cave Show.
Here's the bottom line. If people were having great sex, we'd have world peace.
You know, one day I was riding around with a friend, and the alarm on my watch went off. And I turned to my friend, and I said, "Hey, shut up, because I need to listen to The Cave Show with PLR."
Welcome back to the Cave Show with PLR. This is PLR. It is Friday. Man, I'm ready for the 3-day weekend. If you can see me, I'm walking, just down, looking happy, dancing like Martin did when he was playing Romy Rome. Just happy for this weekend. A lot of sports on TV, a lot of things going on. The only bad part, it's going to be like 175 every day. I love when people back east complain about heat. You get breaks, you get rain, and you get nights. We wear shorts in January. Like I said, this is the Cave Show with PLR. Make sure you check us out every day on our replay. If you missed the show here, KSRN, Calgary Sports Radio Network. Download the app at your Apple App Store, Google Play Store, anywhere you download your apps from. Also, remember, obviously, if you're listening now, you know you catch us live every day as well, KSRN and BTR. We are here rolling for you with a lot of stuff today that I need to talk about, a lot of good things that are on my mind. So, in saying all that, I'm going to play for you a cut. And usually I set everything up. I'm not going to set it up. I'm going to let it play. It's a little crackly, but you can listen to it very easily. And it has to do with Steve Nash, and it has to do with what Stephen A. Smith said about Steve Nash getting a job to coach the Brooklyn Nets. I'm not going to tell you if I agree or disagree. I'm just going to play the clip, and then we'll talk about it.
Well, first of all, one of the things that I'm glad that this subject has been broached again. Just so you know, I spoke to Sean Marks, the GM for the Brooklyn Nets, this morning, because I wanted to make sure he understood exactly where I am coming from. I mentioned white privilege yesterday. I have a message to those who feel that I was wrong, that I need to apologize, that, you know, I don't know what I'm talking about, et cetera, et cetera. I don't give a damn what y'all feel. Y'all can all kick rocks. I don't give a damn. I'm not budging from my position one inch. I called it white privilege yesterday. I'm calling it today. I'm going to call it white privilege a month from now, a year from now, 5 years from now. And you know why Stephen A. Smith, this brother, sitting on this platform can do that? Because I was doing it 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, 20 years ago. I was doing this when Kevin Durant was in elementary school. My position has been very, very clear. And for those out there that don't comprehend, that don't understand where I'm coming from, when I'm talking about white privilege, my apologies to Steve Nash because it's not his fault. Good luck. I think he's going to do a great job. I'm happy for him because he's a good dude. Sean Marks, I think, is doing an exceptional job in Brooklyn. I wish him nothing but the best. But when I'm talking about white privilege, I am simply saying this man with no coaching resume whatsoever gets his first job as a coach in the media capital of the world, coaching a championship-ready squad led by one of the greatest players in the history of basketball in Kevin Durant and an absolute showstopper who is a box office attraction in Kyrie Irving, who happened to be the two preeminent voices on that squad who completely okayed bringing him on. Who are the brothers that were interviewed? Even if you don't hire them, can we know who they are? Did you talk to Ty Lue? Did you talk to Mark Jackson, who starred at Bishop Laughlin in high school, which is in Brooklyn, who starred at St. John's as a rookie? I'm sorry, who starred at St. John's University and then came to the Knicks as a rookie of the year? Who's a Queens native? O'Connell Park. Look it up. Did you talk to him? Did you ask? All right. How about Sam Cassell? Bob McAdoo is a name. I mean, if we want to be fair, the brother's only been an assistant coach on Pat Riley's staff forever, and he's been in the league as an assistant coach forever, and the only interview he's ever gotten was from the Philadelphia 76ers. But Steve Nash, who we didn't even know was interested in coaching, we didn't even know he was interested in coaching until recently, didn't even have to lobby for the job, and he gets picked as the head coach. My point about white privilege, tell me the black man that would happen for. No resume whatsoever as a coach at all. And you get a job of this magnitude. I'm not talking about Derek Fisher with the sorry New York Knicks at the time. I'm not talking about Jason Kidd, you know, his first era with a rebuilding Brooklyn Nets squad or something along those lines. I'm not talking about Doc Rivers in Orlando. I'm not talking about those opportunities. I'm talking about championship ready, where it would be a shock if you don't win 50 games and you're not contending for a crown. Black folks with no resume getting a job like that, I have been covering the NBA for 25 years. I have been a journalist for 28 years. NFL, NBA, Major League Baseball, college basketball, college football. Brothers do not get those opportunities. That is what I'm talking about. And for people to compartmentalize it and to ask Sean Marks that question, that ain't his problem. He's trying to make the Brooklyn Nets win. Steve Nash, what's he supposed to do, turn the job down? Of course not. I'm not blaming them. I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about us in this time of social justice, where white folks are sitting there telling us, We're listening. We hear you. Well, this is what you need to hear. Because people weren't protesting in the streets just because black men who were unarmed were getting shot by police officers. They brought up systemic racism, systemic prejudice, meaning a system that flagrantly favors one segment of our society more than a disenfranchised community, and how it's been going on for centuries, and it never seems to stop. This is the latest example of something that happens for white folks that would never happen for black folks. If you want to sit up there and point to Steve Nash or Sean Marks, you're missing the boat. It's not about them. It's about a system. And I'm looking at two brothers who are socially conscious, who care about us voting, who cares about racial oppression, racial inequality, and the civil unrest that has existed in this country. I'm seeing two brothers that had the opportunity to at least influence it somewhat in Brooklyn, New York, in KD and Kyrie. No, hi, Steve Nash. Go ahead. How about interviewing a few brothers and giving them an opportunity to get some shine? Therefore, they might be a prime candidate for the Philly job or the New Orleans Pelicans job or some other job like that. It would have been nice. It didn't happen. That is what I mean when I say white privilege, about something that happens for white folks and not us. There is no denying this. Y'all can act like y'all don't hear me. Y'all can misinterpret it all you want to. You can convolute the issue all you want to. Here's the beauty. Stephen A. ain't going no damn place. I'm going to be right here on national television. I'm going to go on radio, and I'm going to go in the streets every chance I get. And I'm going to remind y'all about how the rules are always different for us than it is for the other segment of this population. I stand by what I said. I ain't flinching one damn bit. I mean it, and I ain't playing.
Okay, so rarely do I play an entire interview, or not an interview, someone else's show. So thanks to First Take, thanks to ESPN for the sound. So something that long with someone talking about basically their thoughts on an issue. In fact, I shouldn't even say rarely. I don't think I've ever done it. And the calling number is 917-889-7828. Just in case I open these up, this topic up as we move on through the show. So let me clear up a misnomer first that I think happens a lot in this country. There is not one person that speaks for every race of people. And that is so in the black community as well. Just like we agree with points, there are points we disagree with. You've heard me on numerous occasions on this show saying I disagree with a lot of the rhetoric and nonsense that comes out of the mouth of Jason Whitlock. I think Stephen A. does a very good job, obviously. But I do not agree with Stephen A. with this at all. In fact, I think Stephen A. contradicted himself on more than one occasion in the statement that he was making. And I'll rewind and I will break down my point altogether. I do believe that there should be fair interviews for everybody when a job comes available. When you look at the NFL versus the NBA, or when you look at Major League Baseball versus the NBA, or when you look at college football coaching versus the NBA and society, I definitely think there's a difference. Definitely think there's a difference. I think there's a difference in the amount of chances someone gets to be able to coach and to be bad at their job and still get rehired. I think there's a difference in how many black college coaches get rehired at a good job or a better job after they've been let go. Charlie Strong let go from Alabama. It's not like he was popping up at Notre Dame or, you know, at USC or at Penn State or at one of those places. He went to a smaller school. Generally, your second opportunity isn't as good as your first. We all know that. We all do. Charlie Weiss, obviously Kansas isn't as great as Notre Dame, but Notre Dame gave him a whole lot of time to try to succeed before they finally let him go. So I 100% understand that. And baseball, what do? As good as some of those managers are, we know that there's a difference. Dusty Baker is an incredible manager, does an incredible job, but he's always the calming force, the calming influence, and he keeps getting better jobs. Other guys don't. Other guys don't haven't even had a chance yet. So I get it. In basketball, it's a little bit different, if we're really going to be honest. Not only do black coaches generally get another opportunity or very good opportunity if they're let go, but sometimes there are black coaches that have stepped right into jobs without actually coaching. Ty Lue stepped in without head coaching experience. Now, he had been an assistant. I get it. Sam Cassell's been an assistant. I get it. But there are other coaches. Jason Kidd had never been a head coach. Before Doc became Doc, he had never been a head coach. And Stephen A's point that they're not getting those great jobs, Derek Fisher didn't get a great job. And one of the things he said is, he's stepping into a job in the middle of marketing headquarters where things are the brightest. Well, the New York Knicks are the most expensive franchise in the NBA. Derek Fisher walked into that job without any experience whatsoever. Whatsoever. And the argument that he's Steve Nash is walking into a job that's fit to make the playoffs and win 50 games automatically. It's a great situation. We as black people don't generally get that. There's some credence to that argument, but I don't think that's the case in this particular instance. I think this is a lot of noise. We have to look at the relationships and the history. And we could say systematic is always going to be relationships. It's always can go back around and somehow we could circle it back to the good old boy network. I think this is more than this. Yes, I think Steve Nash has a relationship with Sean Marks. That's not a secret. They play ball together here in Phoenix. It's not a secret at all by any stretch of the imagination. And no one's pretending like it is. But he also has a relationship with Kevin Durant. And I think more has to be looked at as to why that's important in this situation. And I don't think a lot is being pointed out against that. And believe me, I am for making sure black men and black women get an equal opportunity to have that spot in anything, whether it's coaching Brooklyn or being a CEO of Chase. To me, it doesn't matter. It's all about opportunity. But KD has a relationship as well with Steve Nash. from his days at Golden State. He has that. So, KD is 31 years old today, coming off an Achilles tear. And even though he may be running in a gym fine and he may seem like he's himself again, it's going to take KD a while to get loose and to feel like he's back the way he was. Kyrie's coming off surgery. It's going to take time for him to get back to the way he was. We don't even have a definite date when the next season is even going to start. And with all that being said, KD doesn't have time to waste at this age in a division in the conference where you have Boston, where I don't know what Philly's going to do if they're going to move pieces, where you have Philly, where you have Toronto, and where you have some teams that are definitely pretty decent. He's going to want to hit the floor day one feeling comfortable with someone he has a built relationship with. Do I think that he has a responsibility to the community, to helping end systematic racism if he has an opportunity in his position to do so? Then, yeah, too much is given, much is expected. But I think this is just barking up a tree for the sake of barking up a tree. This, to me, is not a valid point whatsoever, my opinion. Obviously, it differs from Stephen A's. But my opinion, this is totally different. We're going to step away. We're going to take a break. We're not done with this. We're just going to leave it here for 45 seconds, and then we're coming right back. This is The Cave Show with DLR.
The Law Office of Kerry Lackey should be your first and only call if you are in need of a criminal defense attorney. Also specializing in DUI and accident cases, contact the Law Office of Kerry Lackey online or call 602-288-2303. And remember, the best offense is a good defense.
Don't just smoke your cigar, enjoy your cigar at Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located at 4991 South Alma School. That's on the corner of Alma School in Chandler Heights. There's numerous TVs for viewing while you smoke your cigar, or better yet, become a club member and enjoy the member lounge. That's Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco.
Bombs and birdies, baby. Bombs and birdies. That's all it's about.
This is Elio Cobo with the Phoenix Suns, and I'm in the cave with PLR.
Welcome back to the Cave Show at PLR. This is PLR. Thank you for joining me today. It is Friday, getting ready for this three-day weekend. It cannot come soon enough. Make sure you're following us on all our social media platforms at the Sports Cave. Cave is with the K. On the Instagram, the Twitter, the Facebook, our webpage is thesportscave.com. And you can get me directly on my Twitter as well at PLR on Sports. So let's jump right back into where I left off, talking about the Steve Nash hiring in Brooklyn for the Nets. And honestly, I do not believe that was a white privilege hire in this opportunity that he was given. Brooklyn is a good job. It's a very good job. But there are some other really good jobs out there as well. Now, if those jobs are doing the exact same thing, then that's where I'm going to pause. But New Orleans, open job. Philly, open job. Indy, open job. All teams are either in the playoffs or right on the cusp. New Orleans has Zion Williams. People are going to be breaking down the door to get that job. They re-signed Brandon Ingram, Drew Holiday. That's a good job. Indiana, playoff team. You'll have a healthy Oladipo next year. You'll have a healthy Sabonis next year. Again, playoff team. Philly, we know they got to make some moves. If they do, they still have the option of having Joel Embiid and or Ben Simmons. A playoff team, another not bad job. Now, if all that shakes down, then yeah, I'm on board. I'm saying, you know what, you're right. You're absolutely right. There were some shenanigans. If Sam Cassell, Ty Lue, any of those coaches don't get a call, I understand that. But in this case, I honestly just don't see it. I don't. And believe me, I don't want to be on the wrong side of this, if that's what I am. But I'm willing to take that risk. KD has a relationship. KD is a person that has stood up over and over and over and said things that come on the right side of social justice. Kyrie Irving, 2 months ago, hell, everyone was saying he was an idiot for even saying teams should play in the bubble. He was bringing up the fact that maybe there was too much going on socially to play in the bubble. He said, could it possibly be distracting? And people lined up to call him an idiot. And here he is bringing that up, and everyone saying, no, Kyrie's wrong, Kyrie's wrong, Kyrie's wrong. But when Kyrie signs off on this, oh, well, Kyrie, you know, he should have talked about, you know, get one of these brothers in here to interview for the job. This man is damned if he does and damned if he doesn't. So what do you want? No one wanted to hear him when he said, there's too much BS going on. Maybe we shouldn't concentrate on hoops right now. Maybe we should concentrate on this. It was Kyrie that was subsidizing the WNBA players that couldn't play in the bubble or chose not to play in the bubble due to a lot of other things going on with them, even if it, especially if it had to do with the way they socially felt about not playing. I saw Kyrie donating money to that. But now all of a sudden, Kyrie should have had a voice to do this too? Come on. Come on. Not one can do all. Not one should have the responsibility of having to do all. There's a time sometimes as a people, my people, we can disagree. We just don't have to be disagreeable. Mark Jackson is, listen to me very carefully. I don't know all the ins and outs. I've spoke to people. I've tried my best to get as much out of it as I can. Mark Jackson is not getting a job as a head coach in the NBA. I spoke to a bunch of people offline, and they flat out told me the chances of him getting another job in the NBA are really slim. I hope they're wrong. We heard his resume in that clip that I played from New York. Rookie of the Year with the Knicks. Went to St. John's. The Knicks didn't hire him. The Knicks went with the guy who doesn't even really like to coach rookies. To me, that's where your argument should be, not with Brooklyn. Thibodeau has been known for not liking to play a lot of young guys, unless they're ridiculously special. And I've looked at the New York Knicks roster. There's no one ridiculously special on that roster. There's no free agent trying to knock down a door to go live in New York and pay 35% sales tax. I know I'm exaggerating. We know this. But they didn't even hire him. There's been job after job. He hasn't coached in the NBA for 6 seasons. His name keeps coming up. Well, why not him here? Why not him here? Why not him here? No one's hiring him. I don't think that's systematic. I think there's something behind no one wants to hire him. And from what I've been told, there is definitely something behind why no one is hiring Mark Jackson. In fact, you could probably put up a poll, what will happen first? Will Mark Jackson get a head coaching job, or will Colin Kaepernick go back to the NFL? Which will happen first? So throwing that up at some point just kind of becomes mute. It's like every time a quarterback in the NFL is signed that we know that sucks, like Nathan Peterman, the Peterman, we say, oh, man, they'll sign him. They won't sign Colin. Colin's not getting the job. We say that to prove a point, but then the reality is it's not happening. But I think Stephen A. is off base with this one because it is based on relationship. It's based on relationship that your 31-year-old superstar coming off an Achilles injury has that wants to be put in a situation to best suit his needs. To best suit his needs is to go with someone he has a built relationship with. We don't know all the conversations they had in Golden State. We don't know the conversations they had since he left Golden State. We don't know all that. There's so much back history to this for us to just jump up and say, oh, here we go again. I don't think this is it in this case. Now, like I said, if this happens in New Orleans and in Philly and in Indianapolis, all teams with either a good roster or a good position to go to the playoffs and win 50 games, now we have an issue. That's the difference. Charles Barkley on TNT chimed in on this as well last night. And we always know he has something to say. This is what Charles said last night on TNT.
I was very disappointed at some of the guys on television today talking about white privilege. Very disappointed. They're like, well, this doesn't happen to black guys. And I'm like, what happened to Doc Rivers? It happened to Jason Kidd. It happened to Derek Fisher. So I was really disappointed in some of those guys.
Isaiah Thomas.
Yeah, I was really disappointed, guys, at Isaiah Thomas. Not disappointed in Isaiah, but I just think when you have a responsibility, especially when you have to talk about something serious like race, you can't be full of crap. You got to be honest and fair. So listen, I say Steve Nash is a great player and a good dude, but I was so disappointed with some of these guys. So I said, dude, black guys have done this before. Now, do we need more black coaches in the NBA? Yes. Do we need more black coaches in college football? Yes. Do we need more black coaches in pro football? Yes. But this wasn't the right time to set it today. Good luck to Steve Nash.
That's Charles Barkley, TNT. TNT, thank you for the sound. NBA on TNT, thank you for that sound. Like I said, we don't have to agree on every topic. I think that's a misnomer. I think I love it when we are categorized as all, especially when it comes to race relations. We have the same goal, but we do believe there are different ways to say it. There are different things, different methods. There are people who we think aren't trying to get us to that goal line, or they move the goalpost on us, even when they're in our own race. So, no, I don't have to agree with Charles. I disagree with Charles a lot. I don't have to agree with Stephen A. I think his mind and his heart were in the right place. I don't think this was, in this case, the truth. I don't. But I know he's going to be there every damn day, all day long, and I guess I'm one of them people that could kick rocks. Good thing I live in a desert. But on this topic, man, I'm not with you. I'm not with you at all. Because I've seen it happen with coaches. I've seen a player movement in the NBA by these young brothers that implemented a protest that had the NFL, the NHL, tennis, Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball, where there may be 25 black players in the whole league at this point. I saw them kickstart something off with the power that they have and the platform that they have. Every time I watch a playoff game, I see BLM. Every time I watch a WNBA game, I see BLM and I can't breathe. These brothers have kicked off something. It is incredible. And a lot of people hate on them for doing it. Remember, the NBA boycotted or protested two games. So did baseball. So did NHL. So did tennis. So did soccer. But the only thing that those that don't want to see progress did was blame the NBA. If you really want to talk about systemic, those that are only mad at the NBA, that can go all the way back if you really want to be honest and get to slavery and be mad at the one slave that escaped because he's the one that put the thought of freedom in the minds of the good Negroes that didn't want to escape. If you really want to be honest, that's what they're saying to the NBA when they are orchestrating a movement. So if any league is, in my mind, where players are cognizant of what's going on, it's definitely the NBA. And Kyrie and KD have said and done enough for me, in my opinion, they've put enough trust in the bank for us to give them the benefit of the doubt on this one. So, nah, I'm not buying it. This was a hire made on the ability to coach, the ability of the relationship between the, and the person that he knows and that he's comfortable with. And if that's Steve Nash, then it's Steve Nash. Cave with PLR.
The Law Office of Carrie Lackey should be your first and only call if you are in need of a criminal defense attorney. Also specializing in DUI and accident cases, contact the Law Office of Carrie Lackey online or call 602-288-2303. And remember, the best offense is a good defense.
You know, one day I was riding around with a friend and the alarm on my watch went off. And I turned to my friend and I said, "Hey, shut up. Because I need to listen to The Cave Show with PLR.
Welcome back to The Cave Show for our final segment. This is PLR. This is The Cave Show with PLR. Thank you for joining me this week. Just as a reminder, best of show on Monday. Yes, I am taking the day off, and I'm going to enjoy my 142-degree weather. I owe an apology. I had three calls on hold during the last segment. I know you wanted to chime in. I told you I'd get you in if I could. I couldn't. I'm sorry. Hopefully, I will hear from you on Tuesday. Let's get to some things we need to discuss in the world of baseball. Are the Diamondbacks the worst team in baseball? And I ask that fairly. And I ask that as someone that covers this team. Are they the worst team in baseball? They've lost 13 out of 14. They had a fire sale. They got rid of everybody. They really did. I mean, I still know they have Jake Lamb and they have Walker Buehler and they have, I get that. So before I start hearing, "What do they do that?" Are they the worst team in baseball when it comes to what's expected of them going into this year? They're 14 of 24. Like I said, they've lost 13 out of 14, and they just can't seem to get it right. This team simply just can't score. And we can talk about pitching. If you want to talk about pitching, we can talk about pitching. That's fine with me. But this is a team that hasn't won since Friday the 28th, a week ago. And before that, they hadn't won since the 18th. 8 games in a row, got a win, and now they've lost 5 in a row. And in those games that they've lost, let me read you their scores. I'm going to go all the way back to the 19th of August, one run, two runs. That's 9, 8 runs. Four more runs, 12. Then they lost an exciting game where they lost 8-7 in Colorado against the Rockies, where the balls fly out all over the place. So think about that. Now, I apologize. That game was here. So they had a series where they put together 11 runs. Before that, they could only put together 12. Eight. That's it. In this next stretch, they got their win. They put up 7 runs again. And since then, 2 runs, 1 run, 3 runs, 2 runs, 1 run. How can you win a baseball game like that? How can you win a baseball game averaging less than 2 runs a game? I don't really care what your pitching is like. If you can't score, you can't win. And their manager, Troy Lovello, man, he's trying his best to stay as positive as he can. He said, we're going to find a way out of this. Tori, I hope you're right. I just think this season is going to get worse before it gets better. You got a 4-game series coming up with the Giants, and then it's back to the Dodgers, off to Seattle, the A's, then Houston, then Texas, and then you end the year against the Rockies. And I think it's funny how up until trade day, there was like this glimmer of hope that this team could make the playoffs. But as Mike Hazen said, they're trending not to. Well, hell, losing 13 out of 14, he damn sure ain't wrong, is he? Switching sports, a team that's had no trouble winning. And I don't know how the hell they're winning. I'll just be honest with you. The Mercury won 5 in a row. They clinched the playoffs last night with their win over Indiana, 105-101. This team is balling. They've got 7 players. How the hell are you winning with 7 players? You got Diana Taurasi, the GOAT, hitting 8 threes. You have Skylar Diggins, another game over 20. She's in a flow right now.
We don't really have a choice, you know. I think all of us understand, you know, what situation we in. Short. And I know for a fact nobody feels sorry for us. Every team going through stuff. So, you know, we had 7 tonight, so everybody knew they were getting in. Everybody knew they were playing minutes. And I think we all understand now what we can get. You know, we're starting to shorten the playbook a little bit. We're feeling comfortable getting to know each other and moving off of each other. Just trying to be aggressive, you know. When Dee's aggressive, obviously, when she's making shots like that early, it opens it up to myself. You know, when I can get downhill and get into the lane or, you know, make a few open ones. It just opens it up for everybody. So when everybody's on that front foot attacking, we're a dangerous team. And I think that starts on the defensive end. We got out on defense today. Got to get a good start to the game, you know, establish ourselves early. And, I thought we had it clicking on offense. We had great shots, great contributions from everybody. So.
And that was Skylar Diggins-Smith. And she's right. They're all in the flow. Breonna Turner, she's rebounding everything. With Brittany Griner out, she's become an anchor in the middle. She's keeping the boards clean. And I got a chance to ask Skylar about her, too. Now, the first part you're going to hear is they were jamming to some Dream. So I was like, hey, you can keep that playing as long as you want. You can bump to Jaheim whenever you want to in the interview.
Yeah. What you know about that? No, it's cool seeing Breezy. You know, this is definitely her second year in the league. Let's not forget it. But this is, you see see her coming of age. She's playing with a lot of confidence on both ends of the floor. She's a safety net if you get beat, you know, knowing that you have her and her length. And it's going to be great for her development going forward. But obviously, like I said, she's playing first team all defense, defensive player of the year caliber. And she got in her mindset, she's going to try to get every rebound. I told her, let me get a few. She said no. But I love it when she's rebounding like that, like just a wild woman. And she's capable of doing what she does every night for us. And I think we all kind of starting to settle into our roles, what we have to do, knowing what we have to do. But it's by any means necessary. So I think we need to keep playing with this chip. And I keep saying this shit, but just one game at a time, boss.
One game at a time. They're attacking it. They're playing very well. It's good to see the Mercury get a turn back around, especially after so much adversity with all the injuries that they went through in this season and continue to still go through. So check them out when you can. It is the Mercury, and they're playing extremely well right now. News and notes before we get up out of here. Some NFL notable cuts I want to get to real quick. Clinton Haha Dix cut. Demaryius Randle cut. The Raiders gave him $1.5 million in guaranteed signing bonus to cut him. Oh, okay. The Raiders will raid, right? The Raiders will raid. The Washington football team cut Adrian Peterson. To that, I say damn you, because I took a flyer on him in a fantasy football draft, and now I passed on my third-string tight end to draft him. Now I got to go, and hopefully that guy is still out there. Damn you, Washington football team, for not keeping him to help me fantasy wise. So, anyway, Cam Newton, starting quarterback of the New England Patriots, no surprise there. And in the NBA, told you I'd pick them for you. I didn't even get to the sound for that today. I'm sorry. Hell of a game last night with Boston. We touched on it. Didn't get to get much into that, but give me the Lakers over the Rockets for sure. That's real easy. And in the other game, I don't know where to go with that one. So distressing, so tough, whatever. Give me Miami to beat Milwaukee. They've already beat them mentally already. So apologize for not getting you the sound for the Boston game. Talked about a little bit earlier when Lou was on the call. So you're up to date with that. And the Clippers, they're going to continue to beat Denver and one of my favorite players, Nikola Jokic. That's it. That's all I have for you. I have nothing left to give for this week. Make sure you're following us on social media at the Sports Cave, on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. The website is thesportscave.com. You can get me directly at PLR on Sports. Remember, there is not a live show, but tune in. It's probably a show that you really like. I'm sure you probably will. I guarantee it. Guarantee it. Thank you all for joining me this weekend on the Cave Show with PLR. This is PLR. We're going to end this week the same way we end every day. Mighty Temptations, bring us all. We'll be right back.